Stephen J. Cannell. Fortune 500 companies, laundering drug money, knowingly?
That's what he told me. So I was skeptical because, you know, I believe in the American economy, and I believe in our corporate system of profits. But he supplied me with information. Not only that, he said, punch out on the internet black market peso exchange, and you'll see a lot of stories written, and you'll see congressional testimony where people have testified before Congress about this. And I did, and in fact...
And so you're saying this isn't even a secret?
Not even a secret, except to the American public. Law enforcement knows about it. Our Congress knows about it. And in fact, some of these companies have been involved in RJR settled paid $15 million, I think, in penalties for some cigarettes that had been smuggled into Canada as part of the black market peso exchange or the equivalent thereof. And one of their executives went to jail. They claimed they had no knowledge as a company that this was going on. And in fact, that may be the case. I mean, it's an alleged thing. They were never prosecuted by our federal government beyond just paying the penalties, and this executive was prosecuted. So I started to look into it, and the more I got into it, the more I became absolutely enraged that our big corporations were in fact doing this, and even more so that our federal government was not shutting it down, was not going after these companies and putting guys in jail.
Now, this is the kind of story that the media loves. I mean, you would think that it would be all over the L.A. Times, the New York Times, the Washington Post.
It is.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Money laundries, I guess, feel like they're confusing to people. So, you know, these are stories that end up on the business page, and they don't have the heightened drama of the Monica Lewinsky case or something like that, you know? So it's like... So I was...
But these are also the stories that have drugs on the street and kids in high school who are da-da-da-da. I mean, this is real personal. If there aren't these big mechanisms to have this...
To wash the cash, then these people can't spend their money, they can't build their networks, they can't do... Yeah, exactly.
So that...
So it's
at the heart of a very major social dilemma in America
and
the rest of the world.
The parallel market is one of the largest laundries of Colombian drug cash. In other words, it's not like a little piece of their laundry. It's a big piece of the Colombian drug laundry. So I asked Bill after doing some research on it, I said, I'd like to write a book about this, and I'd like to make it really entertaining fiction. I'm not in the Western Union business. I'm not sending messages, but you know, I like stories that are based on fact, and I believe this is going on. And so I had to fictionalize the companies in this thing for legal reasons, because none of this stuff has been adjudicated. There are a few pending cases, but they're all civil. But I thought I would go ahead and write this story, and so I did. And I took my character Shane Scully from The Tin Collectors, my novel of last year, and I decided I wanted a really exciting opening for this book, something that would really grab my reader. So he's on the freeway one day, and he's driving to pick up somebody at the airport, and he looks over, and in the lane next to him, tracking along at 60 miles an hour, is his best friend from Little League. These guys were like brothers. Shane was the catcher. Jody was the pitcher. And Jody's over there one lane over, and they exchange looks and recognize one another. And the only problem with this sighting is that Jody committed suicide 3 years ago in the police parking lot, blew his brains out. Shane carried his coffin and handed the ashes to his widow. What's
Oops.
This guy doing alive? How did this happen?
That'll get you to the second chapter.
Reality really ain't what it used to be.
Reality ain't what it used to be. So he chases him, and then Jody gets away. And now he's really angry because he grieved for this guy. He mourned for him like a brother, you know. And how could this guy have have been involved in faking his own death and letting Shane not know about it. And he is so angry that he begins to pick at this thing, and he begins to realize that there were, as he gets deeper into it, that there were six officers, all of whom appeared to have died, but in fact have not. And they were constituted as an undercover unit by a corrupt deputy chief that was actually in the first novel, who ended up dying in the first novel. And these guys were working a high-profile case, and they've gone bad. I sort of wanted to write Lord of the Flies, you know, where it starts off and they're just these great kids on an island. And, you know, they starts off, there are these great cops working undercover, and slowly they get goofier and goofier. They start using drugs. They end up becoming, you know, homicidal. Going to the dark side. And Jody is their leader and his best friend. And what they are doing is they are involved in this black market peso exchange. And so it's a way for me to get into this story in a really exciting way. And I believe this book is a fast, fun read. And but you will learn how these money laundries operate, and you'll see the devastating way that they cover this stuff up.
Parenthetically, you're not only writing about this money laundering. The LA Police Department over the last several years has not heaped praise upon itself. It has managed to go from one crisis to another to another. If that were not the case, one would read this book and say, "Well, this is more of a damn fiction. He's out, you know, stretching." But my sense is, and this is really a question, that if this hasn't happened, that something very much like it has happened.
Well, let me start by saying that I am a big believer in the LAPD. It is a good police department, and yes, there are always, with every police department, you're going to find bad guys, and law enforcement has a tendency to draw adrenaline junkies. It has a tendency to draw people who like to get into it, you know, and some of them, if they start to become disenfranchised by the groups they're trying to arrest. I mean, you know, there's a real us and them thing that can develop where they begin to believe that the people they're arresting are a lower life form, and pretty soon rights begin to be lost. But this isn't true just at the LAPD. It's true in police departments all over the country.
And the world.
And so the job of internal affairs, which the first book, The Tin Collectors, was about, is to constantly prune the department of these people and trying to make sure that you don't have these kind of people there. And I think that the Rampart scandal was really an interesting and kind of devastating thing that has yet to really be completely adjudicated. We now don't know whether some people were lying. I mean, it's now going into Act Two. You know, it's a more complicated thing than originally. Rodney King was, I think, a real black eye for the department. On the other hand, I think that the civil libertarians kind of got in the mix there. You know, Rodney King was not a good guy. Rodney King is beating up women. Rodney King has done time. Rodney King was flying down that freeway at 90 miles an hour, avoiding arrest. These cops were all pumping adrenaline so that when they finally got him out of the car, and he's a giant of a man, you know, they started to rain some brutality down on him, which they should not have done. But what ended up happening was all of the news, all of the television and newspaper, how was he referred to? Motorist Rodney King. Motorist? This guy was in they were in pursuit of this guy. Motorist? I mean, he was a felon. He had done time. Motorist Rodney King. So what ended up happening was, you know, he became a cause celeb for the black community against the LAPD, and rightly so. They were wrong. I'm not apologizing for them, but it was a very charged political issue as well as an issue of policemen gone wrong.
You're saying life is more complicated than it typically ends up.
Yeah, reported. I mean, and now we see, as Rodney King has progressed along on his criminal career, you know, that this guy's in court every 8 months, you know, on some other piece of, you know, violence that he's involved with, either beating somebody up or whatever.
Stephen J. Cannell takes an awful lot out of life, turns it into fiction, and then sometimes it looks a lot like life. We're going to go do some more of that when we come back with him in just a moment. Please stay with us.